So you worked on the cracker oven as well, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to talk to me about that. But, you know, before Jacobs amalgamated with Boland's and you had Boland's cream crackers, was Jacob's cream cracker a better cream cracker than Boland's?
They were the same crackers. What am I supposed to say that?
I don't know. They are.
They were the same crackers. They came off the... No, they were. They were the same crackers. You took them off the same band.
They just changed put them, the wrap.
Yeah, the wrap machine on the end. The wrapper was just changed on it. And they were Boland's. Probably get...
Well, it's too late now, it's gone.
Yeah, that's the very same cracker, just...
They were baked in the same
oven,
the
same ovens came down the same band, the same girls lifted them off, put them into the
same
machine.
Same men made the dough.
Just changed the roll on the wrapping machine. They were Boland's.
What were you exactly? Tell me what you were doing. Were you actually baking
the
cream cracker? What were you doing?
They were baked right up the top, and they came down, and they stacked. They called it the stacker. They came down into these chutes, for a better word, about five or six of them across the band, and there was two women, one on each side, and they settled them up. If they didn't sit in properly, one got caught, and then the whole lot went up in the air. So they straightened them out and made sure they were all coming down straight. There was three wrapping machines. There was one at the top, one in the middle, and one at the end.
Yeah.
And you were on the wrapping machine. There was two girls at each side, and you took off so many rows, I can't remember how many it was.
Yeah.
And put them into these pockets. Those pockets in these wrapper machines. They were moving along all the time. And you picked up the cracker. The cracker were grand to do. They didn't fall out over the place. You picked them up and you put in the pocket. Another one in the pocket. They went down along. And the girl on the other side filled what pockets you missed. And then they went down into the wrap machine, wrapped, and there was a girl on the end packing them into square cardboard boxes for to go out to the shops.
Move over to your own bag.
For to go out to the shops, the square cardboard boxes. That was how they were done. They were grand. They were handy.
Extraordinary thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was.
They were great because the second year I went in to Jacob's in the summer, I was put up working on the cracker with Mam and the crowd that she worked with. Like Mam had said earlier, I was only 15, 16, and these were women. They may have only been 21 or 22, but they were women. And I ended up then in latter years being their manager in the factory. Oh. These women, yeah. But they were the ones that taught me how to pack the cracker into the pockets on the machine.
But, you know, we could talk about the whole, I suppose, history of Jacobs, but just staying with the actual, the work itself. I mean, the people who worked for Jacobs, and they really must have...
Oh, there were some great people in there. There were some characters, absolute characters. There were some nasty people too, but then you get that no matter where you work or no matter where you go. But there were some great characters.
Did you, when you left Jacobs, it was long before the move out to Tala, was it, Kathleen? What year did you actually...
I left Bishop Street in 1958.
And where did you go then?
I had a family and I stayed at home and looked after them. like mothers did in those days.
That was a marriage ban, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't, once you got married, you didn't go back. Well, in Jacobs, I don't know whether it was the same everywhere.
Yeah.
But Jacobs didn't take back married women for years.
Was that a policy with Jacobs?
I think it was a policy with a lot of companies in Ireland.
Yeah. And... So why did you decide to go back into Jacobs then, many, many years later?
Well,
in the 1970s,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, 71, I think I went in. 72.
Was it hard to go back in again?
Well, it was hard for to sort of fit a day's work in with a house as well, you know, sort of. Although the kids were big, the children were big at that stage, so they were quite good. I would leave all the things ready for their dinner when they came in, and Geraldine did it mostly, didn't you? Mm.
Yeah. A lot of the staff working with Jacobs inside in Bishop Street would have come out here, lock, stock and barrel, and would have set up a new house. Is that something that you did? Did you find, you know, when you got married first, did you live in the city or did you?
No, I always lived around this area.
Out in Knocklyne?
Walkinstown.
Walkinstown. Yeah. So, but living here then, so you were quite near the new Jacobs. Mm. But at that time, you probably didn't know Jacobs were going to come out here, did you?
Not at that stage, no. I do remember, I worked in Orney's for not for very long. I did evening part-time, about 3 months. But they were starting to build Jacobs across the road from it. And I remember saying to one of the women in Orney's, she said to me, that's Jacobs' new factory. I said, oh God, that's grand and handy, I might look for a job there. Just joking, you know, that stage. But eventually I went back up there.
And found yourself back in with Jacobs again. And when you met the management, were they delighted to see you coming back again? Or would they have remembered you?
There wasn't, I don't think there was any of the management. There was Cyril.
Mm. Mm.
There wasn't very many of the management that I knew in Bishop Street. Now, there was quite a few of the women were still there.
Because I think they didn't make the final move to about 19... the last of them came out. I was there when the last of them came out. So 75, 76 was when the last of Bishop Street moved out. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure when it was, but the thing with the assortments, the last
out. When I started there, I think it was 71 or 72, there was only the Mallow.
Mm.
And I started in the Mallow, but then the bakehouse came out and there were shorty girls for the bakehouse while after it opened, and we were sort of at a loose end in the Mallow, which often happened.
What do you mean the Mallow now?
It was the coconut creams, the
avocado, the Mallow biscuits,
all that.
I see. Yeah.
Kimberly,
all the Mallow biscuits.
Yeah.
But they were looking for, we were shorty girls, so there was a couple of us sent up to help out. And I stayed up there. I didn't go back down because I was used to the work in the bakehouse from the time I was in Bishop Street.
Yeah.
And it was so good, you see, they kept me up there.
It's a skill that never leaves you. Once you learn how to pack a biscuit,
that is true.
It never leaves you.
No.
I think it's a lovely story when you think, you know, that first, you know, when you went in there in the 1950s and gave many years packing biscuits, and then Geraldine, you came along, and you reached managerial position.
I was just picked out of like obscurity, as they say, because the manager I had in the chapter room, just one morning, one of the checkers didn't turn in, and he said to me, "Get your staff together," and I said, "They're not my staff," and he handed me a biro, and he said, "They are today," and that was the start of it. Like, he handed me a biro, I had to go and ask another checker how to fill out the sheets, and then I became a checker.
What year was that?
Oh, God, that was in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I was a deputy checker for years because they just didn't fill the positions. And then I became a checker. And then in 91, I became a section manager. I applied for... I was convinced I wouldn't get it because I was young and female. But three of us got it. Myself, another woman, and a lad that worked in the bakehouse with three positions. Because three of the four women were retiring.
Yeah.
So they were placed. And so that was in 91. I had... I looked after what we call the relief pool, because the people working on the ovens ran continuously, so the girls had to be relieved to go out for their lunch.
Yeah.
So I had a team of part-time women who went out for to relieve the girls for their breaks. So you had to work out the way the breaks worked on the plant, how many people you needed, get some of them to do the early break, some of them to do the late break. There were great women, and I still see some of them. You know, when we go shopping and that, we bump into view. And I ended up as a resource, what they called a resources manager. It wasn't HR. Mm. It was just to resource the plants, to make sure that they had staff, to make sure that they were running, that they were producing what was needed for production planning and all that.
Mm.
So that was my job at the very end. But when I started doing that job, as a manager, there was about 2,500 people altogether. And when I left, there was only something like 150 people.
Did you stay there till the end?
No. I was made redundant in May of 2007. And I think it closed the following August, 12 yeah. months was when it finally closed down.
Were you sorry to see it go?
I was. Mm. I was very sorry to see it go. I mean, it was a great, it was a great company
for the Talla area.
We went up the morning that they were finishing, didn't we?
Mm.
Everyone went up to the canteen, and it was so sad.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, to think that that was the end of it.
Mm. An end of an era.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
There was an awful lot of, because at one stage in the '80s, there was Jacobs. There was Packard and Gallagher's. They were the three big employers in Talla. And you were very lucky if you got into any of those companies.
Yeah.
So they were like Jacobs was a great company. And Jacobs / Irish Biscuits, as it was when I went into it was Irish Biscuits.
I mean, back in the '50s, you had to have somebody in there. I don't know how I got in, because we never had anyone in there.
No, but you were a Kilkenny one.
I was, yes. I was a blow-in. Yeah, but they had to have someone from the family in it. There was people in there that had grandfathers, great-grandfathers, you know, going back. So, someone was looking after me that morning when I went up and said, I need a job.
Because our mum came home and she said, she just said to me that Miss Gilson, and she was the personnel officer, as they were called then, was taking on people. And she said, you know, are you going to go in? She wants to know, are you available? And I said, I didn't know. I had gone for interviews for jobs because I'd finished school. And she said to me, sure, you might as well go in while you're waiting to get a job. So I said, that'll be on my epitaph. I only went in while I was waiting to get a job.
Listen, Geraldine, thank you very much for inviting me here. And thank you for introducing me to your mother, Kathleen, as well, who I thought was marvellous. And between the two of you, I mean, to have given so many years to the one company, thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.